What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, a morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Zach Pollock. Today is July 27th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Connor Prelip. Distance makes the heart go Connor. Oh my gosh. Grow Connor. I'm so sorry. 5.2 innings, a 1-0 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. And honestly, he could have finished that 6th inning, but it was 72 pitches coming back from the IL with a blister. And I'm excited about Prelip. I have been for a little bit, but then my excitement waned. Why? Because he wasn't really taking the step forward with his slider. It was not being the successful back foot pitch that we saw from like Reed Detmers having his success. And the changeup and curve and four-seamer weren't really enough at the time for me to get really in on it. Again, it's very much of a comp of Reed Detmers here. Now, something that's very different, I think, is that the curveball is a harder one and could be a replacement for the slider in games. Also, there is a little bit more potential in that changeup with Connor Prelip. We're not quite there yet. And this was actually a game of sinkers appearing, not four-seamers or changeups or curveballs. It was sinkers being the number one thrown pitch to right-handers. And it was successful, but I kind of treat it as the scouting report failing the Athletics on the road. So I don't know how to read into that properly. I am happy that he's throwing it. He should be throwing it against lefties, Connor Prelip. But it's still a little tepid. That is my excitement for Connor Prelip. I'm not as hyped as I want to be. He does get the Mariners next in the T, right? So it's a good matchup to test the waters a little bit, see if that slider command is still there, and to see if that curveball is going to be that good two-plane, low 80s offering that can actually take over for the slider at times. If he has a second breaking ball that can be the main whiff pitch instead of the slider, that makes it a lot easier to get through games. Drew Rasmussen, ace is going to ace there. It's lovely. It's amazing. It's so good to have one of those one-hit games as opposed to like the seven-hit games that we've seen a little bit too often recently. Reynaldo Lopez had a surprising start against the Orioles, but it's not 94-95. It is 92. 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. I do not buy into that. He's going to get the Nationals. No, thank you. Jose Soriano against the Giants. Ooh, this is nice. 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. He got the win. And here's the thing. It's actually been about 4 decent outings from Soriano now. That looks good, but this was not prime Soriano. Why? Because only the four-seamer going 61% strikes. It was the only pitch, I'm sorry, that went above 60% strikes. Okay? The curveball, the sinker, they did not. And that's scary. Jose Soriano is supposed to be a strike-throwing pitcher. That was what happened in April. Everything was going like 65% strikes. And this, again, was Soriano kind of being chaotic in Oracle Park against the Giants. So to me, this is a blaming on the Giants for Soriano. I'm not convinced. I'm still going to roster him. He's still a hipster. It's just not the same guy. Ranger Suarez came back from his hip injury that turned into an illness that pushed him back even further, and I didn't really know what we would get. I'm happy we got 4 innings of shutout ball with 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks, but it was 64 pitches, still getting warmed up. He had a really good left-handed approach. Sinkers and sliders were dotted where they were supposed to be, inside with the sinker, down and away with the slider, and the cutter did go up and in to right-handers, but the changeup wasn't good, the curveball wasn't good, the four-seamer wasn't good, and now I get the Dodgers if I have Suarez on my teams. I don't really like that for Friday for Ranger Suarez. Also, 64 pitches, I don't know where they're going to push him. Sometimes we do see a limit in the first game back, and then it gets pushed up to 80-85. It's not like it's a younger arm getting stretched out or whatever. For these veterans, we do see giant leaps more often, but it's not exactly the place I want to be with Ranger Suarez, so I'd be careful there. Parker Messick did great. 7.2 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks, and yes, we're at 95 on that heater again. Oh, that's good. Jacob deGrom, ace is going to ace. Not really the most incredible outing. 5 innings, 1 run, 7 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks, hosting the Seattle Mariners in Texas, but it's fine. We'll take it. You know, as long as it's not just a bad one, we're cool. Stuff was generally good. Jacob Mizrowski was just absurd. 5 innings and 1 run, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 12 Ks. He had 12 strikeouts, I believe, through his first 14 outs. And then he did have a home run allowed and then a hit by pitch. And then the final out, and he got pulled from the game. He had 26 whiffs and a 41% CSW and 83 pitches. It is just so dumb there is some argument to be made that Jacob Mizorowski is not the best pitcher in the majors because he went 5 innings and 83 pitches. Now, I know that the Brewers are holding him back on purpose just to make sure that he survives this year. They have a playoff run and everything. But there is something to be said about the longevity of every start. Just throwing that out there. I think he's the best pitcher in baseball. That is the number one four-seamer out there. He's at 102.8. Go watch the video if you didn't see those strikeouts. I just looked at them quickly with you and I was just like, this is dumb. Emmett Sheehan against the Mets. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. It's nice to see a 46% O-swing with his four-seamer at 45% usage. 20% zone rate, good strikes on it. That's the kind of Emmett Sheehan we want to see. And I do think over time that we're going to see those ratios come down for him. He is going to host the Red Sox, the right-hander against the Red Sox, away from Fenway. Oh, yes, that's good. Jansen Junk, 4.2 innings, 100 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. 75 pitches. I don't know why they just didn't let him try and battle out of this. It was just 2 base runners in that 5th inning. Come on, let the guy finish it, 75 pitches. But you see 6 Ks and 4 whiffs, and it's just not really it. 57% four-seamers to left-handers over the plate. Like, it's just not really the approach I want to see from Jansen Junk for me to get really excited. I think he's a really good trade candidate as a sneaky arm to get at the deadline. I wonder what the Marlins will do. They're not trusting him, so I have to imagine that they might get something better in return. I don't know, at least in their perspective. Shane Boz against Atlanta, 4.1 innings of 100 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts, 14 whiffs, and 90 pitches here. I'm not really enthused by it because the curveball is being thrown more, which is what he should be doing, but it still allows hits. Guys got on it. It was 3 hits to lefties at the bottom of the zone there, and just 1 strikeout on 18 curveballs thrown in 2 strike counts is not what you want to see. 14 whiffs and 2 Ks, right? I don't feel that Shane Boz is really that guy in 12-teamers until he has a third pitch. Now, if you're in a quality start league, he generally does go better than this. He has a better put-away rate than 2 strikeouts in 4.1 innings, 90 pitches thrown and all, and he's generally more efficient. But I'm a little worried that he's going to be a whip killer and just not do enough on a steady basis. Kyle Leahy, man, 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts on 10 whiffs and 102 pitches here. That's awesome. He found a whole bunch of strikeouts against the Reds, and I watched all of the ones that he had. He had some nice sweepers to right-handers that are well outside of the zone, but they had good movement to them, so I get it. A good slider down at 90, that was nice, just under the zone, cool. Then he had a slider up and in that was weird. He had a curveball to right at the top of the zone that was weird. A slider up that should have been hit. Sinkers over the middle of the plate. I just don't think he puts it all together. It's a weird, chaotic mess with Leahy where I don't see a consistent approach. I think he's still trying to really figure it all out. But Nick, he just had this great start. I know. That's cool. And you know what? He does get the Jays and Rocky Road next. Like, I don't blame you for giving it a shot. I really don't see the Kyle Leahy breakout right now because it just doesn't all make sense with he's not really executing and surgically taking down these batters. You have Andrew Abbott against the Reds, on the Reds in St. Louis opposite Kyle Leahy. 6 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks. He will always be a weird one. This was generally what he does, though. High four-seamers with lower changeups. They were kind of like middle away. And curveballs and sweepers a little bit all over the place. And that's just what he does. You know, there was a velocity drop here, though, with less extension and less movement. And we had chaos. And it does make me wonder if there was an injury here. He was down to 90.1 in the 6th inning after starting around 92 in the game. That is a little worrisome. We'll see if he bounces back from that. Walker Buehler had a really good start against the Marlins. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. 14 whiffs. It's pretty cool. He had at least 4 pitch types thrown to each side of the plate. His cutter and change first to left-handers is a good approach. I don't really feel like this is something to latch onto. I know those 14 whiffs look cool, but you know, you might want him for the Giants in San Diego. I think that's really just a deep La League move that you would consider. Framber Valdez against the Royals, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He is struggling. This is just kind of tough to watch Framber not really find any groove. And I got really excited by that one curveball game 2 starts ago, and he just has not really replicated it. This was like 60% curves, fine. That's like one extra curve to get there, as he threw 20 of them. And a 57% sinker strike clip is not good. If you see something in your league that is worthwhile to like stream this week, I would just make that swap. Luminder Avila against the Tigers did not live in Avila Loca. 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. Yeah, he had that 7 strikeout game, but before that it was 4-4 and 3 strikeouts. Now it's 2, and it's just, he doesn't have enough. He doesn't have that like put away pitch. It's 96 plus, but it's empty velocity. He's a deep league streamer, like 15 team Toby if you really want it to be. But it is Coors, and then the Cubs, and then the Dodgers up next. So I really would suggest finding something else. Freddy Peralta against the Dodgers was not the game that we expected Freddy Peralta to be fixed. So let's move on from that one. And we also have some other guys, like some big names, Christopher Sanchez, Kevin Gausman, Logan Gilbert. We'll talk about all of those and many more. Braxton Ashcraft after this break. Kevin Gausman, 6 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. We'll take this from Kevin Gausman. It has been a bit of a rough stretch. He has had some nice little bright spots, but to see a poor quality start with 1 whip and 6 Ks, we'll take it. 14 whiffs in this one. It's strange to see him with a 4.51 ERA and a 1.27 whip. He is better than that. Christopher Sanchez has been on a downturn, and really, he had this really nice run at the beginning of the year, but after the 6 innings of 300 runs, 9 base runners, and 6 Ks, that's a very poor quality start. I treated this as the game for him to maintain it, and it's just not an ace outing. We have a 3.64 ERA and a 1.31 whip since June 14th. Yeesh. That is not good, and that is more akin to the Sanchez that we saw essentially through halfway to 2025 or so, something along those lines. It's just not quite that ace level. It is ace potential, and I very much hope that he can get back to it. It's just he's allowing too many hits. He's too hittable at the moment, and that has been the bane of Sanchez for a while until he had that really nice run last year that carried into the start of this year. You have Logan Gilbert in Texas having a frustrating fourth inning where an infield single just couldn't quite flip it to first, and then he had another where it was a nice diving stop by the second baseman, but they couldn't flip it to short for what could have been a double play. So it was 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. So it goes. The 3-for-39 whiff mark on his four-seamer is not what you want. I have two things to blame. One, the generally lower location than the higher one that he has on the four-seamer, but the secondaries outside of the slider just weren't there. The curve, the change of the splitter, not really doing much to support it, and that means that they could challenge more four-seamers. So hopefully that fixes, Gilbert fixes that in the future. And Braxton Ashcraft, 6 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. He was singled out a bit in the fourth, and he still allows too many hits to lefties at the moment. I think it's going to get fixed. He just didn't really have the best curveball or sliders in this one. Fine, it was against the Cubs. I want to keep chugging along with Braxton Ashcraft, but he is going to fall a little bit on the list today. You have Eric Fede going 4.1 innings of 300 runs, and I just wanted to throw more cutters, and I know that he did allow a home run with it, and totally fair not to do it, but I still think like everything else isn't good, so why not just try it? You have Miles Michaelis, sure, going 1 strikeout in 4 innings and 300 runs and whatever. We are going to move on there. Carson Wisenhunt is someone I did talk about with Eno Saris last week about pitchers who might get more opportunities after the trade deadline with some starters possibly moving to other teams. And against the Angels, he went 5 innings, 400 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, but 7 Ks with 18 whiffs. And how he did this was kind of cool. It was a 30% zone rate on his changeup and a lower 26% clip on his four-seamer. Really Blake Snell blueprint in this way. And it got a lot of whiffs. It got strikeouts, but it also elongated a little bit in these at-bats. And then when it was over the plate, they got hit. right? I mean, 400 runs on 7 base runners isn't the worst thing ever. It's a little bit unlucky, but it was a really good changeup. 15 over 33 whiffs for a 45% swing strike rate is nuts. That's on 42% usage. Carson Wisenhunt has figured out that changeup is really good, and I hope that he can get up to at least like 94, because he did showcase 95, 96 in the spring, and we didn't really see it in season, and now he's at 92, and if that's still there, like, just get me to 93, 94, make the four seamer a little bit better. It might make it all come together. So keep an eye on Carson Wisenhunt. He'll get the Padres and Rangers next. He might be a good spec out in your 15 teamer and your 12 teamers. If you're desperate for a stream, you might want to go after that. We'll see. Cole Drake is another lefty, but doesn't have quite the same upside. It's a lot more boring. 4 innings, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, just 1 strike out here. Am I supposed to butter my bread with that? Against the Nationals. And it's a desperate play against the Guardians. I just don't really think there's enough polish and stuff here to chase. He does have a little bit more of an arsenal than Carson Wisenhunt, a little bit of that swatch life, but just not as vicious. He could get more runway as the season goes on, though, of course, if the Arizona Diamondbacks do make any moves at the deadline. You have Jeffrey Springs, who was removed after a hip injury in the second. So 1.1 inning of 4 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 0 Ks. But Luis Morales came in for a relief appearance that really turned into being a follower. 89 pitches of 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks, and 13 whiffs in Minnesota against the Twins. Now, before Tommy John, he was kind of doing this upper 90 stuff. We haven't seen it since, but now he got it back 98 and 99 on that four-seamer, while the slider had an 87 mile per hour velocity with 23% swinging strikes. And it was pretty much just 1-2, right? Those two pitches. It's a bit empty velocity on that four-seamer, and the slider gets like 6 to 10 inches of vert, that lift, which I don't really love. I want it to be more like a gyro at 87. It does get sweep, but it's too high up for my taste a little bit. He will get the Tigers next if he does replace Springs in this rotation, which it does look like he should, and that'll be in Zach Verde. I'm not into that because it is two pitch, breaks the Wasker, you know, a rule, right? I don't think the four-seamer is actually that good. Even though it's 98-99, it's not really getting the results that you want. Think like Bruzdar Gatterall kind of thing where it's just too hittable. You have Ronel Blanco against the White Sox, 5.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He's doing the same thing he used to do, which is avoiding the zone with his four-seamer and trying to get all his outs with sliders and changeups. And it's kind of what he did here, but he just walked a few too many guys. It's interesting, and I actually do think that one of the starts of Texas at San Diego, not San Francisco, will work in his favor. So hopefully we do see that from Ronel. And then we have Will Warren against the Phillies. Just did not go well. 3 innings of 6 runs. I don't think that Will Warren necessarily will stay in this rotation after the trade deadline. I think it actually might be Ryan Weathers. All right, that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock. May your bounce be low and your strikeouts high.